I wanted to get a chance just to celebrate a little bit with one another today, too. And I want to share this. This is a letter that last weekend, we mentioned Sean, who was working in the nursery this morning. Last weekend, Annie and his daughter Emma left to go on vacation for a week. And they left, Emma wanted to write her daddy a note. But Emma's only three, so she can't write. And so she dictated to her mother a letter for her dad while they were going to be away, because she knew she was going to miss her daddy. And this is what the letter said. The letter said, "Dear Dad, I love you and I miss you in my heart. I hope you feel better. Take care of our pets and take care of my toys." She's three. Okay. "I hope you like the food that me and Mom got for you. Give water to our plants, sleep good, and pray. With a heart, Emma." What a sweet little letter. And of all the priorities that a three-year-old would come up with, take care of our pets, take care of my toys, she concludes with that thought: sleep good and pray. What an amazing reminder. How do you think Sean felt that morning when he opened up that letter and read that from his daughter? I mean, I'm sure his heart was overwhelmed with a sense of love, just feeling her love for him. But that encouragement from his little three-year-old to be about the business of continuing to pray, even though she wasn't here with him to pray. What a reminder for us. And we need reminders, don't we? We need reminders to pray. I wish it wasn't the case, but we do. It just doesn't seem to be something that we do naturally. That prayer for us, for whatever reason, is not our first option. We tend to want to go it alone. It is our nature to go alone. It's our nature to worry. It's our nature to try to control. And the humility of prayer runs against our grain. And it seems to be difficult for us that we catch ourselves and we haven't prayed. It's almost like if you've ever been in that sense where something scares you to the point where you forget to breathe for a few moments. It's almost like we get so trapped in the busyness of life that we forget to pray sometimes. And we don't understand why. When we think about it, we say, of course, I need to pray more. And it's because I know that prayer means something, but there is something in us. And maybe it's deep down we wonder. It seems foreign to us. Maybe we deep down feel it feels ineffective to us. Or maybe we feel ineffective in prayer. And so we tend not to take the time to be about what prayer is about. And when we run across words like we're going to look at today, this challenge for us to pray continually, it becomes problematic for us. Because quite honestly, if I could pray occasionally, I think that would be maybe an improvement over where my prayer life is. To pray continually seems like an impossibility. You know, maybe is the Bible setting us up for failure? Or is this truth here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, as we look at this thing called prayer, there's an angle, there's an aspect, there's a dynamic in prayer that it's opening up for us. And as we begin to come to understand what it is, it's not setting us up for failure, but it is the opportunity for us to grow deeper in our spiritual life. Continually sounds like something we should be doing, and it sounds like an absolute, like an always word. And you know, I want to just talk, always is a difficult thing. In fact, maybe you've heard it. You don't want to use absolutes, especially if ever you get into a conflict. You know, words that are absolutes. Have you ever tried this? If you've gotten into a fight, maybe with your spouse or maybe with a coworker, and as soon as you drop the word always in, or words like never. Okay, for example, okay, this is hypothetical here. It's certainly not me. Oh, let's do this. Yes. Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, in the movie Revenge of the Sith, and I'm sure all of you have forgotten that movie, or at least tried, that though we struggle with absolutes, only the Sith deal in absolutes. What a lame quote that is. Of all the great quotes from Star Wars, why do I go to Revenge of the Sith? That was poor. But it is. Maybe not only the Sith, but it is dangerous turf for us to deal in absolutes. Okay, so guys, check this out. You are told, you always leave the toilet seat up. Anyone ever heard that? Oh, yeah, we're mostly domesticated. Very good. Okay, good. Okay. But if you hear something like that, the first thing that we all do is we get defensive. And we try to prove that that's not true. Not hearing the frustration that's going on underneath the surface, but we say, no, not always. You know, last Monday I put it down. As if somehow by diffusing, by showing that or at least once, occasionally, it's not true, we get away and make that somehow better. Or this idea of, you never want to take me out, and you say, oh, yes, I did. Remember, we went out to dinner 3 weeks ago? And again, the point is not, let's look at the calendar and find a way to disprove the never. The point is that someone is feeling neglected. And so the idea for us, if we drop out those words like always and never, these absolute words, that what it tends to do is it tends to short circuit the person we're talking to. And instead of getting to that place of a resolve or result, we end up getting into a deeper conflict that we don't need to. So for people in relationships, I know all of us are in relationships, consider this. It's always a bad idea to use absolutes. So never use absolutes. It's always a bad idea. Didn't I? Okay? But that they don't ever lead us to a resolution. They tend to only add fuel to the fire of the conflict. And I bring that up for words like always and never, but sometimes that always and never, this teaching that we're going to look at today out of Thessalonians has that same feel, doesn't it? When we hear pray continually, we say, well, if I can't pray continually, then I'm not going to be able to do it at all, so I'm not going to do it at all. I prayed that this time, isn't that good enough? I prayed some here, or I maybe prayed a little bit more there, and isn't that good enough? But I always feel like we're losing because I'm not praying continually. Part of that has to do with what we think about prayer, doesn't it? If prayer has to be in a certain position with our head down and our eyes closed and our hands folded and our knees bowed and our knees kneeling, then if we were to try to say, okay, all we are supposed to do is pray continually, it would be impossible because at some point you have to get up. At some point you in your little prayer closet hide away all the time. So this is not what Paul's talking about, trying to get us to stick to this little narrow idea of what prayer is. But he's trying to get us to see prayer as something that actually becomes much more expansive. It becomes kind of encompassing in all of our life. Now, how do we do that? That's the challenge for us. Pray. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do you hear the absolutes there? They are saying this is to be something that is always about what we are about. That it is something that we take with us wherever we go, that we have this idea of somehow carrying with us this attitude, this mindfulness, this awareness of prayer, even though we may not be always in a kneeling posture with our head down and our eyes closed. There becomes something that we are invited to, that prayer is not supposed to be just something that we put in a nice little neat box, and when we're done praying, then we move on and we come back the next day to get back into our nice little neat box. But Paul is inviting us to a lifestyle of prayer. This idea of continuously is kind of the key. And again, sometimes some different versions use the word continuously, or sometimes it uses the word without ceasing. Sometimes it's going to say this, continually. But the idea is the same, that there should be something that begins to move us in the direction of a lifestyle awareness of God's presence. There was a book written many years ago by Brother Lawrence. I want to just bring the quote up here. And it's a great quote. It says this: the most holy necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. Hear that again before I go on. The most holy and necessary practice for all of us in our spiritual life is the practice of the presence of God. And before I go on, how do we begin to develop that? That's what Paul's after here. As we talk about learning how to pray, it is also about learning how simply to be aware in constant connection, constant awareness, constant communication. That means finding constant pleasure in his divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with him in all seasons at every moment without limiting the conversation in any way. Friends, this is a challenge for us because so much of our life seems to be secular, and there's a little piece of our life that we set aside and call it as our spirituality. But what Paul here in Thessalonians is inviting us to, and Brother Lawrence here clearly is inviting us to, is taking that secular part of our life and allowing the spiritual to invade it, pervade it, go all through what we are doing. And we need reminders for that, don't we? Because by nature, we don't pray all the time. By nature, we do get stuck in our own routines and stuck in our own habits, stuck in our own worries and stuck in our own fears. We allow things to kind of overwhelm us. We get stuck on the internet or on our Facebook feed, and we get consumed by all these things, and we somehow lose track completely of where God is or what God is trying to say or do through us. So we need reminders. We need little notes from our three-year-old daughters. We need little, maybe put a sticky note on your mirror to remind you as you leave in that day to go and bring God with you as you go. Maybe throughout your day you might set a reminder on your phone. This is the beauty of the modern technology we have, that we can intentionally plan to set reminders for us to, oh yeah, I need to make sure and pray. I got through my morning. I'm going to take time right now in the midst of my morning to pray. You know, we are doing a book. We're doing a men's study. It's a prayer study, and I'll just highlight it real quick and say, hey, if we do this again, maybe we'll do this again in the new year. This isn't just for men, but there's a study that we're working called Battle Plan for Prayer. It's a great book. It's been really helpful to a lot of the guys as we're trying to learn some new tools about how we can be in prayer more. By this book, there was a section that talked about spontaneous. It's been good, hasn't it, Phil? And it's been, there was one point where it was talking about how it is we can have reminders. Sure, it's nice to be able to get a sticky note and put it on your mirror. Sure, it's nice to have your phone with a reminder that goes off. But even beyond those things, just the spontaneous awareness of God's presence, how can we become more aware as we move forward? The Kendrick brothers talked about these spontaneous prompts for prayer. And I'm going to walk them through real quick just because I don't want to steal their thunder. This is their stuff. But they did some really good work, and they said this: maybe every time, just begin to work new habits. I'm going to talk about 10 things that they suggested, and pick one or two or three, and say, when this happens, I'm going to recall that as a call to prayer, just to continue to keep me a little more aware and a little more dialed in to this thing called prayer. The first thing that they suggested was whenever you come across something new, newness, to say, I'm going to pray. And so we're just begin to work on a habit where newness equals saying a prayer. It doesn't have to be you meet somebody new, hi, nice to meet you, and you get on your knees and pray in front of them. But you can just say a brief prayer, a quiet prayer for them as you begin, and as you, whenever it is, something that new comes your way. By the time we were doing this, Jose, I bought a new car. Well, new to me car. But anyway, I got a new car. And so when I read this, I said, that's a great idea. And so I said, okay, every time I get into my new car, I'm going to use that new car. Lisa, you can do this too. I know you got a new to you car. You can say, I'm going to pray. And so every time I get in, and which is really weird because I never ever thought about as I got into my car that I should pray. But now I'm trying to create a new habit that every time I get into the car, I'm going to pray. And it just becomes part of this routine that I'm doing. Newness is one. Two, needs. And this is whenever we come across a need, we have need for something. I'm feeling a yearning. Whenever I'm sensing a need, instead of just feeling that need, use that as a clue to come into prayer. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, we pray it all the time, don't we? You know, give us this day our daily bread. Need is. Maybe we should say, oh God, help me get out of bed. That might be a good one. You know, I need to get up. And instead of just saying, get up, I'm going to say, God, help me. I got a day before me. You know, and so take that need to take that next step as a call to just a brief moment of prayer. The third one was confusion. When things aren't working out, some of us have more confusion than others. You know, I'll own that. But what if instead of just staying in a state of confusion, we allowed, whenever we don't seem to understand how things are going or why they're going that way, instead of just pondering it or feeling frustrated, we use that as an invitation to be aware, to just bring God into the midst of my confusion. Or anytime we run into a crisis, would it be number four? And if you don't run into a crisis, you know what? Even if you're not in a crisis, you'll find people all around you who are talking about the crises they're working through. What if instead of getting on the Facebook and just spending hours scrolling through things, we were going through and seeing the crises that our friends are going through, and we were praying for them, because that becomes then a call to prayer. You see how all of these things work, that instead of them being distractions for us and causing us to seem to feel like we're farther and farther from God, each and every one of these opportunities can also be turned around to be making us more aware of his presence in the midst and joining him in the midst of whatever it is, confusion or crisis or need. Number five, they mentioned sin. Every time that you sin, catch yourself and confess that sin and bring it to God. Most often what we tend to do is hide that sin or try to justify our sin, but we don't bring it to God. And I'm saying maybe even that. I would hope that this wouldn't increase your spiritual life or your prayer life a lot, but maybe it would. You know, maybe you sin a lot, maybe this would be a good one. But okay, we'll go on. Number six, stress. Everyone's got stress. We've all got stress. And when we feel that stress, when we feel that catch in our throat, when we feel that kind of tightness in our chest, use that as a time to come and bring it to God. Do not be anxious about anything, it says in Philippians 4:6. But in all things, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our request to God. And the peace of God then is going to then fall upon us. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful promise. But so often when we're in the midst of stress, instead of turning it into prayer, we allow the stress to eat us up. Number seven is blessings. Whenever something good comes into our life, maybe that blessing is something as simple as just hearing that letter from Emma to Sean, or maybe there's other blessings that you receive in this day. And instead of just saying, boy, that was a good stroke of luck, why don't we take that and say, God, thank you for that blessing. This too, it's not just the tough things, it's the good things that come and can be open doors for us to become more mindful of God's presence with us in each and every one of those moments. Burdens was number eight. You know, a lot of people feel that sense of grief. I've got a burden over me, or whatever that burden might be. There is some sense of worry that holds on to you, or maybe it's for a care for somebody else out there, and it tends to just kind of sap our strength. But what if that burden then becomes an invitation for us to bring it to God and to come before him with it? Our requests, again, this sounds a lot like needs, and it is a lot like needs, but it is the same idea that we bring those before him. Again, Jesus invited us to bring our needs, our daily needs, to God and to allow whenever we feel that sense of something. And finally, number 10 is rejoicing. And again, that may sound something like blessings. When we get something good and we want to celebrate it, we really need to. Philippians, again, Philippians 4, great chapter, by the way. I'm going to quote it again. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Because there is something so good in that when God has done good, that we get to rejoice in it. And when God has done something good, we don't just go off and celebrate that we are doing well, but we're able to then connect even more with God because we are saying, I am rejoicing in the midst of this and celebrating what God has done. So throughout the day, as we go through all these 10 or whatever, but these become spontaneous, just little switches for us to turn, so that instead of stress, it becomes prayer. So instead of sin, it becomes prayer. Instead of need, it becomes prayer. Instead of blessing, it just by itself, it becomes then an opportunity to reconnect. That this idea that we begin to connect moment to moment, hour to hour, throughout each and every day. And this idea of praying continually is no longer impossible because we are now having this sense of awareness that God is with us and God is working in us and through us. so that all throughout the day there are moments of our awareness of our coming to God in the midst of the joys and the struggles, in the midst of the worries and the fears. Whether we're finding ourselves in the midst of at a crossroads and we don't know which way to go, or we find ourselves on the mountaintop and we can see clearly where we're going, that each and every one of these becomes an invitation to join in, to converse with God. And when that conversation with God becomes part of our daily rhythm, friends, hear this. This becomes the secret to this verse, and this becomes a secret to our life. When this conversation with God, this becomes a daily part of our rhythm, it becomes then we sense His presence and His guidance even more. And it's not like we have to figure it out. I know Richard Foster, in one of his books, said this, that this idea of praying continually is what we're invited to. But it's like we think we have to somehow jump from where we are to there. But it's like trying to swim across from one continent to another, across the ocean, because it's going to be slow going. You got to take it a little bit at a time and allow that conversation to begin to grow over time. This is why I think Jesus said in John 15 that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, hear this, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, see, Jesus is talking here in John 15 about the same thing that Paul was talking about in Thessalonians 5. This idea that as we begin to make this kind of a constant awareness, that we begin to allow even the activities of our day to point us to God, or the struggles of our day to point us to God, so that in all things we bring it all and we abide in Him, in that place we receive God's peace. And in that place we can begin to bear much fruit. That's what we're called to do. Constancy of prayer with Him. So Father, we thank You for the life we have that is filled with opportunities. Not opportunities that would cause us a greater sense of shame because of moments or opportunities that we have missed, but reminders of in Your grace You continue to be present, continue to open that door and invite us to step in. Father, I pray that You would help us as we rest in these moments, as we recognize in these moments that You are the vine and we are the branches, and God, we are connected, and we thank You for loving us. But God, help us to feel that connection more consistently. Help us to be aware of Your presence more intentionally and more thoroughly. So, or in the car, or at rest, that we would feel and sense Your goodness working on us and around us. So bless us this morning as we prepare for this week. God, that we would go not apart from You until we return, but we would go with You, abiding with You each and every moment, each and every step. In Jesus' name, amen.